All right, we're on the theme of vocation. Trevor opened it up beautifully. He actually, like, sometimes you think, do we really need a sermon? Like, he said it. But I'll take you through one anyway. Unless you'd prefer to just have some worship and we can end? No? Okay. All right. So as followers of Jesus, we bring about God's kingdom in what we do and where we go and the workplace that we're in, where we're educated or if we're educating or we volunteer or we're in our homes. And as Trevor said, God's kingdom is loving our neighbour. It's sometimes having to love our enemy, people that we don't like. It's healing of the nations, reconciliation, serving one another, forgiving, humility. You know, some of these things, they're hard. Does it sum up your day? I don't think I look back at my day and always go, oh, yeah, I saw all that. You know, we can be abysmal sometimes at this. Sometimes we can be mediocre and other times we get it right and we do it well. There's this funny little story in the Bible, Jonah. And it's meant to be funny. It appears to be a form of ancient Hebrew satire. And it's a story, I would say, of what not to do and who not to be. It's also a story of foreign nations who weren't the chosen people to be more compassionate and open to God than the Jewish person. And it's also a story of God's great mercy. You know, we're meant to read it and go, uh-oh, that actually could be me. We're meant to look at it and have it knock some of the self-righteousness away from us. You know, Jonah, he's told by God to go to Nineveh and preach against it because they are wicked. Now, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, and they were incredibly violent. They would go into places and actually skin the leaders of the place alive. They were bad. It wasn't nice what they were doing to each other and to other people. Now, Jonah didn't want to go. And it wasn't for the reason that we would possibly think so either. And we'll get to that later. Now, he takes off completely in the other direction. And it's called to a place called Tarshish. And it's like if we're called to Sydney and God says, I want you to do something here in Sydney. And we say, nah, we're off to the back of Bourke. It is the complete opposite direction. And we know the story. He's in that boat. The storm comes up and it's going to do that boat in. And they're afraid. And Jonah, he's asleep at the bottom of the boat because he doesn't care. He quite frankly wishes his life would end anyway because he doesn't want to do what God is calling him to do. The people there, they're terrified and they're calling out to all their gods and they're searching the boat. They find Jonah. Now, they've spoken to all their gods and nothing's happened. And they find Jonah and they say, so who is your God? And he goes, oh, well, that would be the creator of the heavens and the earth and the seas. And they're like, oh, finally, we found him. And perhaps he's the problem then. Perhaps there's a problem with him and his God. If he's the creator of the seas. Jonah's like, yeah, well, throw me over. It is me. It is my fault. And they don't want to. They have compassion. They don't want to throw him over. And they actually end up praying to the Creator God. And they offer a sacrifice and they make vows to him. Jonah does end up overboard and he ends up in the mouth of a big fish. You know, everything in this story is rather big. We have this big seas and the big storm. We have the big fish and the city is big as well. It's all large scale. Now, he's in this fish. Now, remember, the Hebrews have this fear of the depths. They fear the depths of the ocean and the great sea monsters, and he is in the belly of a sea monster. And it says that he cries out to God, and he realizes the grace that's given to him. He says words like, I have been banished. The deep surrounded me. The seaweed was wrapped around my head. And in verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And with those words, the fish spewed him up onto dry land. You know, it's good to contemplate the grace given to you. It keeps us humble. You know, Jonah was told again to go to Nineveh and give them a word from God. This time he goes and he says these very few words. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. That's it. That is his entire message. The actual Hebrew for those words is just five words. He gave them five words. And the people of Nineveh, they changed. They believed in God and they declared a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, they put on sackcloth. They even put the sackcloth on the cows. Verse 10 says, God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways. He had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. So yes, Jonah's prophecy was right. They overturned, just not as Jonah expected, but they had an overturning. Then we come to the real reason Jonah didn't want to go. One would have thought that he feared them. They were incredibly violent. They were his enemy. They were enemy to the Jews. They were scary. But that is not Jonah's reason. He says in chapter 4, verse 2, he prayed to the Lord. O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish, because I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Poor Jonah, can you believe it? Can you see the comparison here in this story between Jonah and the people who didn't know God? They were known as pagans. The men on the boat, the people of Nineveh, far more open to God and God's compassion and his ways than the prophet Jonah, stuck in his miserable ways. This is why I think Jesus brings it up. It's actually recorded twice in Matthew and in Luke. And Jesus says to the Pharisees, he says to them when they ask for a miraculous sign, and you can find it in Matthew 12:39, he answers, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here. Jesus is calling them out on their self-righteous ways. They condemn everyone around them. And yet the evil nation of Nineveh turned from their ways from just five Hebrew words. The story of Jonah is the mercy of God, of God's love for all the nations, not just the Jews. And that was what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were missing again and again and again. You know, God could have sent an angel, he could have sent some amazing miraculous sign to Nineveh, but he didn't. He chose his usual method and he partnered with a human to bring about his will here on earth. You know, Jonah got there in the end, but he's not really a great example of how to. And he remained miserable and self-centered. You know, the story just abruptly ends with he's sitting outside the city. He's self-absorbed and this vine grows over him and it comes up and it offers him shade. And then the very next day a worm appears and it eats away this vine. And he is so angry. And it's petty. And God says, you're all concerned over this plant that you didn't even tend to. He did nothing to look after it. And you question me on my mercy. You know, the Pharisees of Jesus, they were self-righteous and self-absorbed. So was Jonah. And we can be too. You know, we're all called to many vocations and paths in life. And we partner with God in whatever it is that we're doing, wherever it is that we are. You know, I wouldn't say many of us here are a prophet like Jonah, but we are still prophets in that we proclaim God wherever we go, whatever it is we're doing, who we are. You know, as followers of Jesus, we've been given the call to respond to injustice in this world. And we've been looking at a lot of that this afternoon. We are called to help the oppressed, the poor, the widow, the sick, to love our enemies, to give, to act humbly, to serve, to love our neighbour. There's so many other stories in the Bible that are like comparisons to Jonah, the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son. You know, when we ignore these issues that are put in front of us, we turn the other way. It's like running off to Tarshish or the back of Burke. Maybe you're called to the back of Burke. But you know, it can be hard because the more we know, the more information that we're given, we see the call from common grace, the more we are responsible. You know, the more we know about slavery and our food sources, where our food comes from, coffee, chocolate, you know, it's got such high amounts of slavery in it. When we don't look into that and our clothing and where that has come from and who has made that and we ignore it, it's like running off to Tarshish. The more we know about the historical truth of our country that's now called Australia and we ignore, it's running off to Tarshish. The more we know about corruption in our workplace, or perhaps the girl that's sitting a few desks away is being bullied and we do nothing. The more we know about the high rates of deaths in custody of Aboriginal peoples and we do nothing. Let's not turn the other way. Let's not look the other way. You know, it is hard work. And I know I get lazy. You know, it's easy to just buy whatever at the shops and not have to think too hard about it. We've been asked to take action with the petition with Common Grace. Let's not make some of these things too hard and not take the time to go and read it and see if we can respond. You know, Kingdom of God living is something we're all called to do, not just some of us. And it extends to our vocations, our daily lives, our comings and our goings, not just Sundays. And sometimes we need to speak up. And sometimes we need to say less. You know, Jesus was harsh with those that showed no mercy and that thought of themselves more righteous than others. You know, the truth is we all deeply need God's grace and forgiveness and guidance in our lives. And the more we realize the depths of God's grace in our own life, the more that can flow and extend to others. So let's not be like miserable Jonah, running away from our responsibilities, to then reluctantly, half-heartedly follow God's ways. Let's remember our own deep need for God in our lives, His mercy and love for all people. Let's keep our eyes fixed on what's important. Matthew 6:19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. You know, what we do here matters. What we do here matters in eternity. It's about people, it's about relationships. You know, we've all got self-righteous, judgmental prejudices. We all do. You know, they can even be if we think we're so gracious and so loving and so inclusive, that in itself can sometimes become self-righteous. And sometimes it can be so deep that we're blind to what it is in our lives. But God can show you. Ask Him to show you. And then look at it and see it and name it and let it go. You know, I think it's timely for Reconciliation Week. As Christians, we want to live our whole lives as people of reconciliation. And we can't reconcile while we condemn and judge and think ourselves better than others. We need to search our own hearts and allow His forgiveness and His mercy to engulf you, to mold you, to soften your heart today, because His ways are good. You know, when you bring mercy, love, humility, service into the workplace or the home or wherever it is that you are, that impacts. That is lasting. These acts, no matter how small they might be, are the treasures in heaven. You only see half of it or less of the impact that we have here on earth. But I believe the treasures in heaven, the rewards in heaven, is we're going to see it to full. All these things that we have done and how it has impacted here on earth. In people's lives. You know, I was talking to some new Year 7 kids at the beginning of the year. You know, that first week in Year 7 is so awkward, all the kids coming in from different schools and you don't all know each other. And one of them was telling me about an Asian boy that every lunch would just stand there alone in the playground. And you know, he said to me, he said, I go and stand next to him. And I said, do you chat with him? He said, no, not really. I just stand there so that he's not alone. I want to encourage us to be that Year 7 kid, to notice what is going on around you and be the hands and be the feet of Jesus here on whatever it is that you do. Let me pray. Father, we come before you now and we acknowledge that sometimes we see ourselves as better than other people. That sometimes we judge, sometimes we condemn. sometimes we show no mercy. And Father, we just confess that to you now. And we ask that you show us the depths of our heart and the places where we may hold prejudices that we don't even see or know. And we ask, Father, that you will show us what they are, because we don't want that in our life. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness over each one of us. And we pray that we can extend that to those around us. And we do that through you and our relationship with you, Jesus. Amen.